The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Now, ever fancied buying your own island? Well, you now have a chance. And at a reserve of just €100,000, it is priced lower than most properties on the Irish market at the moment. Dunvallon Beg is about 2 kilometres off the Mayo coast and goes under the hammer tomorrow. I'm joined now on the line by Harriet Grant, who is head of country houses and estates with Savills Residential Estate Agents. Harriet has been involved in a number of island sales. I'm also joined in studio by Dublin solicitor David Walsh. He is author of Ilan, the Guide to the Irish Islands, and has visited over 500 of our islands in his 23 years research for the book. Plenty put in there. And he has also been to Dunvallon Beg a couple of times during that research. Harriet, to you first. I know you're not selling the island, but do you know much about it?
Hi, John. Well, I know what has been reported about it. That's the 55-acre island of Benmullet in County Mayo. And that I don't think there's a house on it. There might be a ruin, is that right? Maybe David knows.
David
that
might fill us in.
I didn't see anything remarkable about the ruin. It was 10 years ago. I didn't even know it had been a house. I just thought it was four walls.
Right, yeah. Okay.
I mean, the thing about islands is that most of them are special areas of protection. So, like, you know, you need a ruin if you're good, if any chance of getting planning permission
to build a house.
Yeah,
to live
and
on.
Even then, I mean, the ruin would—it's difficult to get planning permission.
Yeah, and tell me about the value now placed on this island, €100,000, Harriet. What would be taken into account when the pricing is done?
Well, I suppose when you're looking at islands, all property, you look at location. So, you know, properties in islands off Cork and Kerry would probably hold more of a premium than islands maybe off the west coast. Accessibility is one of the major things. Can you get on and off the island? And also, is your trip over and back from the island in a sheltered bay, or are you heading out into the Atlantic Ocean? Of course, if there's a house on it, it's going to be valued higher, or ruins. You also have to look at, you know, simple things like, is there water on the island? Because mm-hmm. there's no water, you know, you can't really do much with it, either get or else get the water piped out from the mainland, which is a massive cost.
Okay, so these things have to be taken into account when it comes to the reserve put on the island.
Yeah.
And tell me, your own involvement in sales of islands, I believe you were involved in the sale of Inishturk back in 2012, and I think it went for something in the order of €3 million.
That's right. It was Inishturk Beg. It was in Clew Bay. Now, it was placed on the market at 2.85. It had had a multi-million spend on the island. So the facilities and the infrastructure was absolutely amazing. And when that went on the market, it went viral. We had inquiries from Australia, China. We had viewers from the US. And the interest, people actually viewed it. There was Irish people, there was UK people, there was Europeans and a US. When it came down to actually dealing on the sale, there was Irish people interested, but they'd only go to a certain level. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it was sold for just over €3 million. And there was a bit of competition, and both the bidders were, at that level, were European.
And you don't know where what country they came from. The ultimate buyer, what country did he actually come from?
The UK, and then the other bidder, I believe, is from the Netherlands.
And is that the biggest price achieved for an island around our coast?
No, I do know of an island that would have sold in the height of the market, down in Roaring Water Bay in Cork, for somewhere in the region of €5 to €6 million. It was never actually disclosed what it made, but I believe it's in that region. And it would have been an Irish purchaser. But that was Celtic Tiger, and the Irish buyers would have been there for islands then. And if you think about it, there was a lot of helicopters in Ireland at that stage.
That's true.
So the accessibility didn't come into it so much.
No, they didn't need piers or slips or jetties, whatever they're called. And David, just first of all, you actually have been to Dunvallon Beg, I beg your pardon.
Small black island.
Yes. What did you make of it?
Was it difficult, first of all,
to land there?
It's a bit exposed, all right. Yeah, I would agree with everything Harriet said about it. Its location is everything, and it's in a stunning location. But other than that, It's a small, low-lying, grassy, very pleasant island, but unremarkable, except for its stunning location. The Eyres Peninsula and Blacksod down there, magnificent. It's one of the best parts of Ireland, next only to the Beara, maybe.
Yeah, and I mentioned at the outset that you visited over 500 islands.
Yeah, no point in growing up if you don't have to, John.
Yeah, tell us about that. What inspired you?
It happened by accident. I was a mountaineer all my life, and I just, with other outdoor interests, and I just happened to stumble across sea kayaks on a mountaineering trip up in Spitsbergen in the Norwegian Arctic. I just came across icebergs and canoes, and I just fell in love with it. And when I got back, I realised that here was a way to be a serial island man. It's Mishan Talonach.
Yeah, and tell us, just where did you start?
Started in Dublin, you know, Lambay and Rockabill and the islands off Skerries, Dalkey Island and so on like that. They're all fascinating in their own way. Dalkey Island has black rabbits.
Has it?
It has, yeah, yeah. So has Dovahlon Moor, the larger brother of Dovahlon Beg, the island we're talking about here.
So would you have spent hours just on these islands exploring
on some,
them?
Yes, and on some days I got overnighted, I got caught out a few times and that sort of thing. If you go to sea in a small boat, you're not always going to have your feet under your desk on Monday morning.
No, it takes a bit of an investment of time.
That's it.
And effort. What was the island that you were most impressed by?
I would say of them all, on the east coast there's Lambay. It's second to nothing. It's, you know, I mean, the architecture designed by Lutyens, his wife, laid out the gardens. Nimmo laid out the pier. It's got the last elm trees in Ireland, last elm tree forest in Ireland. There's even wallabies up the top. There are little kangaroos running around the place.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And just in your travels then all to the other islands around the country, what did you establish about the wildlife there and the flora and the fauna?
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Like, I mean, it's all undisturbed, so you have a better chance of seeing most things like breeding seabirds and all of that sort of thing. But there are exceptions out there, like the black rabbits and the mice on the Blaskets have mutated. They've got long legs and long tails. And the Rathlin mice are bigger than any other mice in the country.
You see, easily spotted while you're on the island.
No. I saw them on the Blaskets, but not on Rathlin, because I was camping on the Blaskets. And when you could, it's against the rules now. But you used to be able to camp in amongst the ruins of the old village and so on like that. And you'd be visited more often than you'd like, yeah.
Would you, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you did a bit of camping then on some of the islands?
Oh, yeah, a lot of it. And sometimes there wouldn't be room for a tent. Like, we slept on the Skellig one night and just laid out the sleeping bag.
I see. And when did you actually get up to the 500 mark when it comes to visiting Ireland?
It was last summer.
And what was number 500?
Salvage Island.
And where is Salvage
Island? It's off Glandore.
Right. And tell us about it. What's it like?
Well, it's a double island, a two-headed island. I got onto both of them. Somebody actually set up a bridge between the two of them last summer as well. It's a bit of maritime architecture or something. It didn't last very long. And they're unremarkable, rocky, pretty islands, but they're just there, and I go to them because they're there.
Yeah, and you're going to continue, in other words.
I've nearly run out, though. I have another 70 to go. It'll keep me going for the rest of my natural, yeah.
That's 570 islands in total around our
yeah, coastline. In my book, but I'm including every rock and reef. You must understand, too, that a lot of them you can drive onto, like Achill or Valentia and so on like that, or think Connemara. I mean, if you want to visit Peggy Letcher War, you possibly cross about 10 islands in your car.
Yes, I'm just wondering then, what did you make of Star Wars taking over Skellig? Were you a bit miffed by it? Or?
No. I mean, I'll wait, and I'm a solicitor. I don't jump to judgment.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's the training. 40 years as a solicitor, only 20 years in the kayak.
Right, okay. And what about the Celtic Tiger? Did it leave its mark? I mean, when you were visiting some of these islands, did you see?
Strangely, it did, but not in the way that you might think. Like, there wasn't that much development, in fact, compared to the mainland. But what there was a huge growth in the infrastructure all around the coast, in all the little bays and slips and piers. They were all done up, including on the inhabited islands, even the ones with holiday homes and so on like that. I mean, there was, you know, people talk about the Celtic Tiger as leaving motorways behind, but actually they left piers and slips all over rural Ireland, in all the little isolated out of the way places. All the piers and slips got improved. I credit the OPW, and I have a suspicion that Dev Oak, Minister O'Keefe, was there through most of it. Yeah.
So there was some legacy from the Celtic Tiger.
In that regard, yeah. And there wasn't undue. There's no ghost estates out there, John, but there are some unfinished houses,
are
including
there?
on Dovillon Moor, which is the big brother of the one that we're talking about here today. A guy started to build and didn't finish, which is a pity.
Yes.
It's unsightly and it can be seen by thousands of people every day.
Can it? You can actually see it from the shore.
You can see it from the shore, yeah.
Yeah. So, but the planning for that then, that would have been, would have rested with Mayo County Council?
Mayo County Council, but as I say, there's these special areas of conservation as well. So you need your ruin, you need water, you need a septic tank, you need electricity, you need all of those things. And the other thing, which Harriet didn't get to, is you need a pier. She correctly said that you need a pier to set out from and you need sheltered water before you get to the island, and then you need a good pier to land on, and it doesn't have that. And Dovillon Beg that we're talking about here today certainly doesn't have it, and there's a higher authority than Mayo County Council in that regard, and it's called the Atlantic Ocean.
I see.
So, and it's unforgiving.
So inaccessible to a great degree, or at least difficult.
I would have thought this island today was of great interest to sheep farmers, yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. That about these.
I can't imagine anybody building a house in it, but I could be wrong. You want to ask an architect, not a solicitor.
How many islands of the 500 or so, 570 that are around our coast are actually occupied?
Yeah, I actually did a study of that for your researcher over the weekend, and there's about 65 of them are inhabited all the year round, and about half of those you can drive out to. So you've got 30, 35 that you've got to sail out to. There's another 65 then are holiday homes. Mm. You don't tend to be able to drive onto a holiday home island. You know, there's no connection between the two features. But what you do get with the holiday home islands is that privacy is an issue. The holiday home maker just doesn't want anybody else landing there, or for whatever, there could be a commercial operation on it or whatever. So about half, you can drive onto about half the all year round inhabited islands, and privacy is a big issue for half the holiday home islands.
Yes, and how many are privately owned of the islands?
I would say somewhere above 20.
Mm. Of the 570.
Yeah, but it privately owned, John, you must understand that every inch of Ireland is owned from the high water mark to the top of Carn Thuaidh.
Hmm.
There's no such thing as public land. Everything is private land. Yeah. Everything, and you've got to respect that fact, even if the owner isn't there and so on like that.
And am I right in saying John Lennon bought an island in Clew Bay?
Oh, he did, a beautiful island called Durnish, and he set up a hippie commune which thrived for a number of years. He himself didn't go there very often except by helicopter during the day, I understand. But it's a very, very beautiful island called Durnish. It's Clew Bay is magnificent. You know, it's absolutely all the islands out there, especially towards the outside and towards the south. But Inishturkbeg that Harriet mentioned is a magnificent island. I happened to be friends with the owner of it.
Okay. He let you go out on it?
He did, yeah, just by coincidence. When he was a Trinity student, he lived near me and he babysat my children. So he let me walk all over it. And she is right, it was stunning. Mm. Absolutely stunning, the infrastructure he put in there.
I know you say you're a solicitor by day, but have you ever been tempted to just go and live on one of these islands?
No, my wife says our marriage wouldn't last 3 months.
So that's it. Persuading her.
No, you need a different temperament to live on an island. Everything, you know, you'd need a strength of character that I don't possess.
Right. But you obviously have visited islands that didn't have piers, that didn't have slips, that didn't have jetties.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, brave the waters.
There's only, if you do the sums, 130 do and 460 don't.
Yes, okay. Well, listen, David, thanks very much for coming in this morning. The book is called Ilan, The Guide to the Irish Islands. Am I right in saying that it was presented to Prince Charles?
It was, by President Michael D. Higgins, good on him.
When he was
in Windsor Castle. They didn't get a photograph, and I still won't forgive him for that.
Peter in Mayo says, congratulations to David on his update of Ilan. It's a Bible for any mariners and adventurers in this island. The fact that the text has been generously available and updated on his website for many a year is a testament to his passion and sincerity. I presume you'd agree with all of that.
Yeah, it's freely available on online. Anybody wants to go anywhere, all the text of the guide is available to anyone to download, ilan.org. But you can buy the book. A book is a nice feel in your pocket.
Okay.
And in mine.
Well, listen, David, thanks very much. You've no plans that your remains be sprinkled. I don't want to get a bit morbid on you now, but be sprinkled on a particular island.
No, I have a better choice of location for that. It's all worked out.
All right, David, thanks for joining us. And thanks to Harriet Grant, Head of Country Houses and Estates with Savills Residential Estate Agents. We're going to be keeping it island, about island life. We'll be back in a moment with one man who has made his way to the Blaskets.